Every general fights at least one battle he later wishes he had not done. That was surely the case with Civil War field commanders. Lee had his Gettysburg and Grant had his Cold Harbor. For William T. Sherman, the nightmare was Kennesaw Mountain, Georgia. In the spring of 1864, Sherman had 90,000 veteran soldiers in and around Chattanooga, Tennessee. Early in May, the men began marching southeastward along the Western and Atlantic Railroad. Their goal was Atlanta, 100 miles away. Standing astride Sherman's path was the Confederate Army of Tennessee under courtly-looking Joseph E. Johnston. Sherman's strategy was to try and get around Johnston's flank, catch him off balance, and force the Southern general into a do-or-die battle in the open. Johnston, skilled at what might diplomatically be called strategic withdrawal, sidestepped and retreated, eluding Sherman and avoiding battle. From Dallas to Resaca, from Adairsville to Cassville, from Allatoona to New Hope Church, Sherman probed and Johnston parried. 6 weeks this military minuet continued as the Confederate Army fell back closer and closer to Atlanta. Late in June, Sherman either ran out of patience or fell victim to faulty deduction. Johnston at the moment held a strong 7-mile line in Sherman's front. The Confederate center was posted on the wooded slopes of Kennesaw Mountain. Other hills protected Johnston's flanks. The defenders had all of the advantages. Heavy rains had sent streams out of their banks and turned the countryside into mud. Another Union turning movement was momentarily impossible. Stalemate to Sherman was unacceptable, and Atlanta was only 20 miles away. Sherman may have concluded that Johnston had weakened his center in order to protect his flanks. The gaunt and grim Sherman was also concerned that so much marching was sapping his men of their fighting edge. Whatever the reasoning, on Monday, June 27th, the Union commander ordered a direct headlong assault. Three divisions in pack formation advanced up the mountainside toward an open plateau and a small peach orchard. Confederates snug behind deep, impenetrable earthworks blew the attacking columns to pieces. At one point in the action, a corpse behind which some Union soldiers had taken cover was set afire by musketry. The men under cover were helpless. If they ran, they would be shot. If they remained, they would be cremated. Across the way, an Arkansas colonel saw that predicament. He ordered his men to cease firing, then jumped atop the earthwork and shouted, "We won't fire a shot until you get away." The Union soldiers dashed to safety, Federals gave a cheer, the Southerners did the same, and the battle resumed. Sherman's efforts at Kennesaw Mountain that June day were a flat failure. It cost him 3,000 casualties, while Southern losses were barely 500 men. The battle was fought in temperature near 100 degrees. One Confederate noted, "I never saw so many broken down and exhausted men in my life. I was sick as a horse and as wet with blood and sweat as I could be, and many of the men were vomiting from excessive fatigue." And this account was by a soldier on the winning side in the battle. Johnston paid a soldier's tribute to Union courage by observing that the characteristic fortitude of Sherman's soldiers held them under a close and destructive fire long after reasonable hope of success was gone. Union Corps Commander George Thomas was more blunt. He warned Sherman, "We have already lost heavily today without gaining any material advantage. One or two more such assaults would use up this army." Sherman had learned his lesson. He resumed the maneuvering again as he pushed toward Atlanta. That he did not attempt another frontal attack may have been because of 3,000 reminders from Kennesaw Mountain.